Well, hey, everybody. I'm so glad you are joining us for worship, and I pray that your time already has been a blessing to you and your family, been able to worship Jesus on Easter Sunday. And I thought this was going to be a little bit different. Honestly, my first Easter Sunday, I thought it was going to be a packed house, and we were going to be all filling this place up and dressing really nice and maybe even having some pictures taken out in the foyer and sending those on social media and to our family everywhere. And I thought it was going to be totally different. So this is honestly a little strange for us, but we know God has a plan. And so we're just going to trust him in the middle of all this. And so if you're a church family and you're sitting on your couch and you're watching with us today, I just want to say thank you and God bless you. And we love you and we're praying for you. And also, if you're a first-time guest, maybe someone invited you to come to church, so to speak, this morning, and you're watching for the first time our live stream, just want to say a special welcome to you as well. And don't worry, you're not alone. You're not the only one that this is your first Sunday. This is my first Easter Sunday here at Central as well. And my family, they're sitting on their couch right now, and it's their first time also. So we're all kind of in the same boat. We're just doing this together, doing life together. So I just want to be honest with you a little bit. Earlier this week, I went to my office and, you know, the church building's closed. And so I was all by myself and I was kind of going through some of my books and I still got stuff everywhere and picture frames everywhere. And I'm trying to figure out where everything's going to go. And I was just standing there and just kind of had this moment of kind of a little bit of panic and anxiety, and I was just kind of overwhelmed by just the moment and going, man, this is not how it was supposed to be. This is not how I planned my first month here at Central, and I just had this feeling of anxiety kind of wash over me, and it kind of worried me a little bit, and I just wanted to be honest with you that this is kind of what I'm dealing with right now, that I don't like this at all. I don't like not being able to see you guys. I kind of feel like I just got married and we skipped the honeymoon and we're not even living together, you know? We're living in separate homes. I mean, it's just this weird feeling where I have a desire to get to know you all and be close to you, and I can't do that. And really what I realized is that what I was dealing with in my office, standing there all by myself, was fear. I was dealing with fear. And I think all of us this week, we've been dealing with fear. It's something that we're all going through. And we may be dealing in different ways with fear. Maybe it's we're worried about sickness, worried that we're going to get sick. Maybe we're worried that a family member is going to get sick, or a church member here is going to get sick, or your neighbor is going to get sick. Or maybe for some of you, you're worried about your job security. It's a real fear in your life that maybe you've been laid off already. Maybe you've been furloughed already, or you know someone who has, or maybe that's something that's maybe coming down the road for you, and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills and deal with all the financial situations that your family is going to have to deal with. Maybe you are retired, and you're worried about your savings, or maybe you're about to be retired, and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to live in the future the way that I had planned to live? Well, the New York Times, I read an article and it said this week. It said, the virus generates much the same fear and anxiety caused by terrorism. So it's kind of similar to terrorism in kind of how we feel about it. But it is brought by nature and not by humans. And it demands a different response. And the response is staying alone. That's weird. You know, usually when we've dealt with terrorism as a country, we lock arms together, we have parades, we move into action, and we do it together as one. Well, now we're supposed to deal with this and fight this alone. And everybody's telling us to stay alone in our homes. And for you and for me, I think that's there's some fear in the middle of all that. But I believe that God calls us to look into God's word, and there's a biblical response to fear that I want us to look at today. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Joshua, because he was a young guy and he was following after Moses, and he was about to take over. He was about to be in charge, and he had some huge shoes to fill. I don't I don't know how big Moses's, not his physical shoes, but his spiritual shoes. I don't know how big they were, but he was like Shaquille O'Neal, 17 size shoe spiritually, and Joshua was supposed to put Moses' shoes on and take charge. And he was scared. He didn't know what the future was going to look like, and he was not prepared for what God was calling him to do. But here's what the Bible says in Joshua 1:9. It says, Jesus, or God says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." It says, do not be afraid. That's God's response. That's the biblical response to fear that we need to look at today. Well, last Sunday, we walked through kind of the Holy Week, and we looked at all the different days of Jesus' life when he goes into Jerusalem, his last week of life here on this earth before he died. And we began to look at all those days and see that there was kind of a cloud of fear going on all around Jerusalem. There was fear from the religious leaders. They were scared that Jesus was going to take over and take all their power away. The people were scared. They had fear of the Roman occupation, and they wanted something to be different. But also look at the followers of Jesus and what they were going through. And I think there was a lot of fear that was building in their lives. You see, here's something I think we need to realize and understand today, that fear is natural. Fear is something that we all deal with. It's a natural feeling. And the followers of Jesus, they had a lot of fear. You know, Jesus, he's on Friday early in the morning, he's falsely accused, and he is taken and through a kind of a fake trial, a sham trial. And then the Jewish leaders, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. And the Roman leader, the Roman governor, he said, "Man, I don't find any fault with him. I'm just going to kind of punish him a little bit and release him." And they said, "No, he needs to be punished." They demanded and cried out over and over again to crucify him. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. And so Jesus is taken out and he's beaten. And I don't know if you ever sat back and just kind of thought, what did that actually look like? What did the beating of Jesus look like? It was brutal. The Bible says that you could hardly recognize him. He was so beat up. I remember a long time ago, I cut my finger, and I was doing something stupid, and I used a razor blade, and I accidentally cut my finger down to the bone. And I cut my finger, and I kind of just held it for a second. And I was like, "Oh, that's not too bad." And then I moved my hand out of the way, and the blood just kept coming, and it was all over the place. It began to kind of puddle on the floor. I'm like, "Man, this is bad. I need to go to the hospital, the doctor. I need to get some stitches. I need to get this fixed." And I just kind of thinking about all the blood that was on the floor, and I realized when Jesus went through what he went through, man, there was a ton of blood on the floor. The Romans were professionals at beating people up and making people have fear what they could actually do to a human body. And so if you ever watched The Passion of the Christ, one of my favorite movies, it's very accurate probably of what Jesus went through and what he was dealing with. And you see pictures and video of him being beaten with a whip. And the whip had little barbs on the end of it, and they would grab the back of the flesh, and they would just rip the flesh out all the way down to the bone. And they would beat Jesus. They beat Jesus on his back, and they'd flip him over, and they beat his chest and his stomach and all down his legs and put a crown of thorns on him. And he was losing blood profusely. And it was early in the morning on Friday. And I wanted to read to you a little bit of what happened that day. And so I'm going to go into the Gospel of Mark, and all of the Gospels share the story of Jesus' crucifixion. But Mark 15 says it in an incredible way, and I want us to read that this morning. Starting verse 21, it says this: "A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, and they offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers, they nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And a sign announced the charge against him. They put a sign above him on his cross that read, 'The King of the Jews.' And two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left." And then the Bible kind of talks about how people would come by and they would mock Jesus and they would taunt him. as he was hanging on the cross. And down in verse 33, the Bible continues and says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, and he screamed, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? It was the first time in Jesus' life where he felt alone. He was all alone. The Father's presence had left him. And he screams, my God, why have you abandoned me? And some of the bystanders misunderstood, and they thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. And one of them ran, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. And he said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. And then Jesus uttered another loud cry. And the Bible says that he breathed his last. And he died. And an earthquake began to happen, and the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, this man truly was the Son of God. And some women were there, watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. And this all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. And Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus, he was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if Jesus had died, if he had died yet. And the officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph he could take the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth, and then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. And the Bible says that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. And so Saturday happens. And I wanted to pause and just think about what in the world these followers had to deal with. I think there was great fear in their life, in those circumstances. They had witnessed Jesus brutally executed. And for Jews, Sabbath was on Saturday. So we celebrate the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday together. But the Jews did that on Saturday. And so Friday afternoon, Jesus dies. And the Sabbath actually started that night when the sun went down. And so they had to hurry and get Jesus off of the cross and put him in a tomb. It happened so quick that his followers couldn't even prepare his body for burial. They couldn't take the spices and do all the things that they would normally do with a deceased person because the Sabbath was about to start and they weren't allowed by law to do any work. And so you can imagine what happened that evening. That whole evening, they are completely and utterly devastated. And then Saturday comes and they're asked to worship. How in the world are they supposed to worship God on Saturday, on the Sabbath, when this had just happened? Can you imagine the fear and anxiety and the fear of the unknown just paralyzing them that day? I don't know about you, but there's been some Sundays where I've come to church where I've felt pretty bad, like things had just happened in my life. And I wonder for us, I mean, some of you guys come to church on Sunday, or maybe you're listening right now on Sunday, and there's things that have happened this past week, and you're just like, I can't worship. I can't worship right now. This fear, what's going on in my life, is just completely and utterly paralyzing me. You see, they had put all of their hope in Jesus, all of it. Some of them had given up their careers. They had left their families. They decided to follow Jesus to the end. They put all their hope in Jesus, and now he's dead. He's in a tomb. So I have a question for you. What are you putting your hope in? You know, right now, I think this is a time in our lives that we could take a step back and look at our lives and ask this question, honestly, what are we putting our hope in? I think some of us are probably putting our hope in financial security. And right now, there's some fear going on because our financial security is pretty thin right now. And the future is unknown. Maybe some of us have put our hope in comfort. Like, as long as my family is okay, as long as my life is kind of normal and everything kind of goes smooth with me and in my life, man, I feel comfortable. That's where my security is found. Maybe some of us, that's kind of going away right now, and there's fear in that. Maybe for some of us, we're scared of our health, and we've been putting our security in our health. As long as I'm healthy and my family's healthy, then you know, life is good, and that's where I'm finding my security. And we have fear right now because we don't know what our health situation is. And so all of these things kind of produce fear in us. Well, the good thing about this story is that Saturday ended. It didn't last forever. And the sun went down on Saturday, and Sunday morning, the sun rose. And I wanted to look at one person in this story, and her name is Mary. And Mary, she was from the town of Magdala, which was a city on the southwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And in Luke chapter 8, there's a story about Jesus going into that town, and he finds this lady, and she is possessed by not one demon, but seven demons. And the Bible says that, it was unbelievable what was going on in her life. And Jesus goes and he heals her. And he casts those demons out by his power, in his name. He casts those demons out. And all of a sudden, she is completely healed. And the Bible says that she began to follow Jesus. From that moment on, she had put all of her hope, all of her trust in Jesus. And she began to follow him. And her and these other ladies, they would take care of the disciples. They would take care of Jesus as they were going around in their ministry. And this lady is Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene got to witness everything that the last week of Jesus' life. She was with Jesus and saw his trial. She saw his beatings. She saw his crucifixion. She was there for all of it. And she was up there on that hill watching Jesus die. And she was, the Bible says that she and a couple other followers were right next to Jesus when he was being crucified, as he was dying. They were there to try to comfort him. Mary Magdalene got to witness all of this. And I wonder what her Saturday was like, what her Sabbath day was like. And she evidently got with some of these other ladies and said, you know what, we need to take care of Jesus' body. As soon as the sun comes up, as soon as Sabbath is over, we're going to go to the tomb and we're going to take the spices and we're going to prepare his body, because that's the least we could do is to honor him in that way. And here's a story in Matthew chapter 28. Here's what it says. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. And his face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women and said this, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but guess what? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. And it says that they were frightened, but also filled with great joy. They had mixed emotions. They couldn't believe what was happening. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, just like the angel said, he said this, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." You see, fear, it may be something that's natural, like we talked about earlier. Maybe something that we all deal with. But Jesus has an answer for our fear. He has an answer to our fear. I have a dog named Piper, and she's about 10 years old. And I think when she was a little puppy, she was left outside, or I'm sure what happened, in the middle of a storm. And so she has this, she's deathly afraid of storms. And you may have a dog or an animal that's like that, a pet that's like that. But every time a storm comes near, Piper, she just flips out. And all of her emotions just go haywire, and she won't listen to anybody. She just completely changes into a different animal. And she goes and she just sits in a corner and curls up, and she just shakes. And every time she hears thunder or sees lightning, she just shakes. And when the storms come at night, she will run under our bed And she will just shake the entire bed, and we can't get her out. She growls at us. I mean, she goes nuts and goes ballistic when a storm happens because she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand that it's going to be okay. She thinks that something bad is going to happen to her. And I ask, you know, our family, we say, why are you afraid? Like, why are you scared? It's going to be okay, Piper. And I think God, you know, is kind of saying the same thing for us. And he was saying the same thing to the disciples, to the followers of Jesus, saying, why are you afraid? Because you shouldn't be. Don't be afraid. But I get it. I get that our circumstances right now produce great fear in us. We have fear of the unknown, and we don't know what's going to happen. But God gives us something to keep us from having fear. And here's what he gives us. He gives us his love. He gives us his love. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And what is the love of God? The love of God is this, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, on my cross, on your cross. That is the love of God. And the Bible says that this love drives out fear. And so today, I just wanted to talk to two groups of people here as we kind of wrap up this Easter Sunday morning. I want to talk to two groups. You know, the first group I want to talk to is believers in Christ, people who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I think for people watching right now, that's probably the majority of you. But I think God has a message this Easter morning. You know the results of Easter, but I want us to think about what is the message that God is giving us today. And here's what I think he's trying to teach us, to not be afraid. Don't be afraid. In the middle of hopelessness, whatever situation you find yourself in right now, in the middle of that hopelessness, there is hope. And in the middle of your fear, and in my fear, in my family's fear, in the circumstances we find ourselves, in the middle of fear, there's faith. So I think there's a couple ways that we can not be afraid as believers in Christ. And here's one of them. I think we need to rely on our faith. You need to rely on your faith. In Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6 that we just read in the story, here's what it says. Then the angel spoke to the women, said, don't be afraid. He is risen. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. And the angel has the opportunity to say something that's probably the most profound statement in all of human history is this. He is risen from the dead. Just as he said would happen, come see where his body was lying. So for us, we can rely on our faith in Jesus. And here's where our faith comes from. Our faith comes from Jesus saying who he is and then backing it up by what he does. And we see this right in here in the scripture, and it says this, he isn't here. He is alive. And he has risen from the dead, just like he said he was going to do. And come and see his body. Come and look at the evidence. He is not here anymore. And based on everything that Jesus has done in this story, and based on everything that Jesus has done in our life, if we look back to all the times that he's been faithful in our lives, then we can respond to our fear with faith. Based on everything that Jesus has done, I'm going to trust him. Everything that Jesus has done in my life and how he's brought us to this moment and my family to this moment, in the middle of all this, I'm going to trust him. And I think that's something that we need to do as well. We need to trust Jesus. And that's going to help us to fight against fear. But here's another thing I think we can do. We can worship him. And this is exactly what the women did. They worshiped Jesus. The story goes on in verse 8 and says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And it says, and as they went, Jesus met them there and greeted them, and they did this. Look what they did. It says, they ran to him, they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. I think for some of us right now, we need to do the same thing. We need to run to Jesus. We need to run to him, and we need to worship him. We need to move our focus from our fear and the fear of the unknown. We need to move our focus from that, and we need to move our focus to Jesus. And that's what worship is when we take our focus away from something that shouldn't have our focus, and we put it on the one thing, the one person that should deserve our focus. That's what worship is all about. And so for some of us, I think maybe when we finish this video, when we finish worship this morning, you maybe need to rewind and go back, and you need to worship all over again. And you need to go through and you need to sing out loud the praises of God. praises to God in worship, or maybe, you know, every day this week, perhaps you get up and you put on your Spotify or your Apple Music, or you put a CD in, or however you listen to Christian music, and you need to listen to some Christian music and worship God this week to fight against that fear. And you need to open up your Bible and you begin to read and worship the Lord, because here's what happens. When we worship God, fear goes away. It will change you. When we do that, it changes us. Because 1 John 4:18 again says, there is no fear in love, but here's what perfect love does. Perfect love, it drives out fear. It drives it out. And this Easter morning, maybe that's what needs to happen. Fear needs to be driven out. But the reality is that 1 John 4:18 doesn't end there. It doesn't finish there. There's a second half to that verse, and it's for a second group of people. You see, for believers, the Bible says this, why are you afraid? It asks the question, why are you afraid? And it says, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid because you have Jesus. You shouldn't be afraid at all. But the Bible does not say that for unbelievers. The Bible is really clear that unbelievers should be scared. You know, I was thinking this week, what is maybe the biggest fear of mankind? What is the biggest fear of mankind? And there's a lot of things going on in this world right now. And I think here's the biggest fear that kind of underlines everything. It's death. The biggest fear is death and what happens next. Because in the end, there's nothing we can do about it. Death and what happens next is a big fear. And listen to what this verse finishes. 1 John 4:18. Here's what it says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with punishment. Well, what in the world is that talking about? Well, that punishment is God's judgment. That's God's judgment on mankind. And the Bible says without the love of God in your life, without Jesus in your life, you should have great fear. And perhaps today God is using this pandemic, this COVID-19 scare, these shelter-in-place orders, all of the craziness, your job security, your financial security, your health security, all the things that we're fearful of. Maybe God is using all of that to stir in your heart a good dose of fear. Maybe God is wanting you to be a little scared and to think about things, about eternity a little bit. And if you're not a believer in Christ, I want to just share something with you today. If you're listening to us and maybe you've come to church a lot, but you don't really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this message, or the first time you've checked out Central Online, I just want to talk to you just for a moment. I want you to talk to you a little bit about hope, because there is great hope. There's hope in this thing we call the gospel. And the gospel, all it is another word, another term for good news. It's a term for good news. And it's an answer to our problem. And so I just want to share the gospel a little bit with you today, because here is our problem. The gospel starts out with a big problem that we all have. And it's found in Romans 3:23. And it's that everyone is a sinner. And it says this, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We're all sinners. We've all messed up. We've all screwed up. We've all blown it big time. And the Bible says that everyone has fallen short of God's high standard for perfection, for getting into heaven. We've all messed up. And then Romans 6:23 goes on and teaches us that there are consequences to our sin. So we realize we're all sinners. We have sin. But the reality is, it's not just sin, because there's a consequence to that sin. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That death is the result of sin. So sin has a penalty, and that penalty is death. But the gospel begins to change. The gospel begins to move towards hope. And here's what it says in Romans 6:23, the second half of that verse. God has a solution for us. And so if you realize that you're a sinner, you realize that sin has a consequence, which is death, here's what God has in store for you. And it says this, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God gives us this free gift of Jesus' death on the cross on our behalf. And that's what Romans 5:8 says, that Jesus died for you. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You see, your good will never outweigh your bad. It never will. And all of your effort will never get you into heaven because you are not going to be good enough. It can't make you right with God. And you know, honestly, that's what Easter is all about. Easter is all about looking at what Jesus did for us, that he died on the cross, that he literally died and was put into the grave. But the hope that we have is what we get to celebrate every Easter Sunday, that he is risen. He is risen. And when Jesus died, he gave you a gift. He gave you a gift of him putting himself in your place. But also when he rose from the grave, he showed his power over death. He showed his power over your death. And he has a special plan for your life. But here's the deal, that free gift has to be received. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. If you're sitting on your couch at home, or maybe you're driving down the road, or whatever you may be doing, I want to ask you this question. Is there any reason why you shouldn't trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Is there any reason that you shouldn't do that right now? Because maybe God has you listening and watching for a specific purpose and a specific reason right now. Is there any reason why you shouldn't trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And if there isn't any reason you can't figure it out, maybe God is calling you to trust in him right now. And so what I want to do is I wanted to walk you through what that looks like. Because God gives us a free gift, but we have to receive that gift. And that's what Romans 10:9 says. It says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's what's going to happen. Here is the result. You will be saved. And so for people here that are listening this morning and watching this morning, if you're not a believer in Christ, here is the hope that you can have. You can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And here's what you have to do. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to trust that he died for you and that he rose again to show his power over sin and death in your life. So what do you do to be saved? The Bible says you got to believe. You got to openly declare and believe in Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do is just give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus, to respond to the Bible. Every time we open the Bible, every time we read it, God calls us to respond to something. Maybe God is tugging at your heart right now to believe and to trust in Jesus. So I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. That's how we communicate to God. So how am I supposed to trust in God and tell him what's going on in my life? And how am I supposed to ask him to come into my life? Well, we're supposed to pray. And so I just want to lead you in a prayer. And it's not any special prayer that's going to have magical words, but it's just a prayer that if you believe it in your heart, truly believe it, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And so I wanted to ask everybody, if you're at home right now, wherever you are, if you would bow your head, every one of us, we bow our head and close our eyes. If you would like to pray that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you would just repeat this prayer in your heart after me and believe it with everything you've got, would you pray with me? Dear God, I can't do this on my own anymore. And I don't want to put my trust in anything else but you. I want to put my trust in you right now. And I realize that I'm a sinner and my sin has separated me from you. So I confess my sin to you and I say that I am sorry. Please forgive me. I want to put all my trust and I want to put all of my faith in Jesus to save me from my sins, to make me clean. And I know that Jesus, he died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I want to accept God's gift of salvation right now. And I know that Jesus, he was raised from the dead, and his grave is empty, and I want him to be my Savior, and I want him to be my Lord. So thank you, God, for saving me and for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you just prayed that prayer, here is the good news. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ the Lord has done for us. God has made you right in his sight and he's brought you peace. You don't have to be afraid anymore. And you know what the Bible also calls us to do? It calls us to make it known what we've decided to do, the decision that we've made, what God has done in our lives. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to make it known. You know, that the verse that we read in Romans 10:9, it says, if you openly declare and confess that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It says that if you openly confess, if you tell people about it, God is calling us. This is the first act of obedience when you become a believer in Christ is to go and tell people about it. And so we want to give you, in the digital age we're in the situation we find ourselves in, we want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And so we've come up with a couple of ways that you can do that. I want to challenge you to do this. And here's a couple of ways you can do that today, right now. If hopefully the Facebook Live is working right now and there's a comment sections going on, if people are commenting, I want you to go on and just comment and say, just tell everybody that you've been saved today. And we have a staff that are actually monitoring those feeds, and they'd love to be able to connect with you and talk with you more about the decision you made. Or you can go to our main website. Maybe you're listening on YouTube and you can comment on YouTube as well. Or you can go on our main church website and as you're watching or on our main page, and there's a little messenger area in the bottom, and you can click on that and you can send us a message and say, it's a private message just sent to us, and say, hey, I've trusted Jesus, my Lord and Savior, because we want to help you in the next steps and help you to follow what you can do next. And then even more personal way, if you just want to email me, there's my email address on the screen. It's Clayton@cbcowasso.org. And if you would go and just send me an email, I'd love to be able to contact you and talk to you about what God is calling you to do and be able to celebrate you with you the decision that you made. So for all of us this morning, here is the reality. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to be afraid because Jesus takes it all away because he's alive and we can trust him. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus and the incredible gift that we have because of Jesus' death and his sacrifice, but also because of his resurrection. And we can celebrate that he is not in the grave, that grave is empty. And so for all of us as believers in Christ, I pray, God, that you would help us to not be fearful in the times we find ourselves, but we would be a people of faith, and we would trust you, and we would worship you, and we would lean on you in the middle of these times, and you'd be faithful to us because we know, God, that you love us, and your love casts out all fear. And God, we thank you for people who perhaps have trusted in Jesus to be their Lord and Savior right now in this moment. Thank you, God, for in the middle of this craziness, in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of uncertainty and fear, you have brought your Holy Spirit down in their life and you have saved them. Thank you, God, for the gift of salvation today. So God, be with us as we go about the rest of our week. Help us to trust you and to not be afraid. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.